Ramsey TV.
Worry has killed more people than war. Now, can I prove that? Are there any statistics on that? No, I don't think I can prove that. But it is a medical fact that stress, which comes from worrying, is a major factor in every disease. Heart disease, skin problems, nervous issues, insanity, who knows, bipolar disorder. I bet you every single thing. Every single thing is not necessarily caused by, but worry is a contributing factor to every physical disability. And the thing is, when you worry constantly, you can't take a toll. You don't have a worryometer. You can't take a toll on what it's doing. But its effects, as they mount and mount and mount over the years, it just is debilitating. And, you know, people have died in their sleep. People have died in their sleep. How do you die in your sleep? Well, you know, you and I, we've woken up from dreams where we're sweating, we're breathing heavy, our heart rate is, and you wake up and you think you're going to die. What have you been doing? Laying in bed. You're not even moving. You're laying in bed. Where is all this craziness taking place? In the mind. In the mind. It's like the Matrix. You're just laying there, and this whole world, these worlds are swirling in your brain, and you're in deadly situations. In your dreams, you're in car accidents. You're running away from murderers. You're jumping out of airplanes without a parachute. Right? You're always running from something. Like Satchel Paige said, don't look behind you. Something may be gaining on you. This always happens in your dreams. Thank God I only have these terrible dreams maybe once a year. Usually my dreams are pretty useless, pretty benign, somewhat entertaining. So, you know, I'm fortunate, I guess. You know what? I bet this. I can't prove this either. But I bet maybe the less worried you are in life, the less phantasmagorical your dreams are. So it's this thing called worry. And we are warned against it several places in Scripture. I'm going to go through some passages. But the Greek word, merimno, is a really fascinating word. It's a two-part Greek word. I'm sorry, it's merimna. It's a two-part Greek word. The English elements are part remind. That's right. The prefix there, mera, is part, and the last part, imno, is remind. Part remind. So what does that mean, Martin? I'll tell you what it means. Life consists of hundreds and hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of little parts. And reminding yourself constantly. How many times do we have to remind ourselves? Okay, whose birthday's coming up? What do I have to do today? What are my goals in life? Let me remind myself. But just, I got to remind myself I'm supposed to fluff the pillows today, or beat the rugs, or sweep the floor, or call my kids. It's reminding, reminding, reminding. And then we have these stupid phones that allow us to mark our calendar so that whenever something's coming up, it's beep, 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 beep. You're reminded constantly, constantly. And it's the reminding is one thing, but the parts are another thing. It's like these tiny, tiny little minuscule things all call for attention, and we fret over them and we fuss over them. This causes diseases. This causes unrest. It causes disquietness. It probably causes depression. I don't know. I'm not saying there are not other factors. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor here, but I'm just saying, and I bet it's true. We're going to find out if it's true. Worry kills more people than war. So when I think of part remind, I think of going into a grocery store, and you have that list, and it's a bunch of different parts, right? Bread, eggs, water, wine, avocados, almond milk, and so on and so forth. So, and you're constantly looking at that list, blah, blah, blah. It's reminding. Okay, just amplify that to everything. every single part. When is this bill due? When is my mortgage due? When is my anniversary? Can't miss your anniversary. What's my social security number again? What's my phone number? What's my address? What's my kid's address? What city does this person live in? And then people get pissed at you when you miss their birthdays. It's like, God, I can't keep track of any more birthdays. I'm sorry, it's just too much. I have to remind myself constantly, and it's just, it gets the stomach into knots. It ties the stomach into knots, and that causes skin problems. I mean, it causes hair to fall out. It causes nervous tics. I'm not making fun of anybody there. I mean, you know what my dentist told me? My dentist is in Canton, Ohio. You know what he told me? Kind of embarrassing to admit this, but he says, you're grinding your teeth to a pulp. Pretty soon you're not going to have any teeth left. I told him, I'm not going to need them much longer. Grind my teeth. He says, I'm going to get you a bite plate at night so that you don't grind your teeth. I said, nighttime is the only time I don't bite my teeth, Steve. Nighttime is the only time I don't bite them. I'm always playing music in my head and I'm doing the beat on my teeth. I don't know. It's insane. I'm like, apparently, abusing my teeth into powder. So be it. Like I said, I won't need them much longer. That's okay. They're holding up. These are my real teeth. They're holding up. Yes, sure. Okay, now, I want to go to Matthew 6:27. Our Lord said some pretty wise things, and a lot of it had to do with not worrying. Now, who of you, Matthew 6:27, who of you, by worrying, by reminding yourself of all the little parts in your life, reminding yourself, remind, that's the root word here, is able to add on to his stature one cubit. Now, you think stature has to do with your height, right? No, this word in the Greek is fascinating. Stature. It's the Greek word helikia. Yes, it's the Greek word helikia. The English element is prime. The concordant dictionary in the back of the Concordant Literal New Testament says this, the greatest or highest point of development, the prime of life. So who of you is able to add one cubit? I think of a cubit as accomplishment. One accomplishment to the prime of his life. Who is able to approach their prime, to improve on their prime, to get the most out of life by worrying? In fact, worrying is counterproductive. It deletes from your stature. It deletes from the prime of life. So to me, the corollary is the less you worry, the more you grow into your prime and the less impediment you have and you can go further in life, because that's the word here, prime. I never knew that. I saw that word stature. Who can add to a stature? What stature? What does height have to do with this? Nothing. It's coming to full development in your life. And many of us think or have thought that, wow, by trying to think of everything, by trying to keep track of everything, by trying to get all the little ducks lined up, all the little parts, that we're able to improve our lives, but it doesn't. I would say it wrecks our lives. It's counterproductive. I love this. Luke 10:41. This is the famous story of Martha and Mary. Of course, we know Jesus was at the house of Martha and Mary, also the home of Lazarus. They were brothers and sisters. And we know that while Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, Luke 10:39, Martha was distracted about much serving. What's the big thing today in the Christian world? Serving. Serving. But it can be distracting because many of those in the Christian religion, we've all been there, think that God's opinion of us rests on how often we do things for other people. I'm not saying we shouldn't do things for other people. I'm saying that it can be detrimental to be overly concerned about, it comes down to performance. And Martha was distracted about much serving. There's the thing. If serving distracts you, then it's not good. You have to cut it back. Let the peace in your heart be your guide, be your judge, be the umpire in your heart. The peace. Let peace of God rule in your heart. And if serving does not take away your peace, then serve. But if you find that your peace is being taken away, then the hair is going to start falling out. Yep. Skin's going to start breaking out. You're doing too much then. You're doing too much. Sometimes, many times, it takes a nervous breakdown. God gives people the gift of nervous breakdown. Tell you what I'm going to do for you today, you person who's distracted with much serving. I'm going to give you a nervous breakdown. No, don't thank me now. You'll thank me later. Nervous breakdown is going to force you. This is what nervous breakdown is. Forces people to be still and know that He is God. Yeah, nervous breakdown. Martha was on the brink of a nervous breakdown here because she was distracted. She had the Savior of the world in her presence. And she figured, well, I got to please Him. I got to make sure the cube steak is done perfectly. So in the meantime, Mary is seated at the Lord's feet, hearing His word. And everything was fine until Martha started bitching about it. Why don't you tell my sister to start helping me? She's just sitting there. Oh, that was a mistake. Well, actually, I'm glad it happened because it caused Jesus to say this. The Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worrying and in a tumult. Worrying and in a tumult about many things. Many parts. You're obsessed. Yet a few is their need. This is a shocking revelation. In this life, there is need of very few things. That's a shock. All the stuff we have, all the stuff we have to do, all the birthdays we have to remember, all the addresses we have to number, all the passwords we have to remember. I got to remember the combination of my lock when I go to the gym. It's just so many things. And the word tumult here in the Concordant Literal New Testament in Luke 10:42, it's a Greek word. Well, I got to get my glasses. There's a Greek word here, but it looks like a Chinese word right now to me. So let me see. Oh, thorobos. Thorobos is the Greek word for tumult. It means agitation expressed in motion and noise. Agitation expressed in motion and noise. Folks, I'm not immune to this. I am agitated many times throughout the day. I'm agitated. Something's wrong. I need to sit at the Lord's feet. I need to stop before I have a nervous breakdown. Jesus is telling me, Martin, Martin, you are worrying and in a tumult about many things, yet a few is their need. And then He takes it to the next level. You think, few? Wow, there's only a few things I really need to be concerned about in this life? He takes it to the next level. Watch this. A few is their need, or of one. One thing. How would you like to have your life reduced to one thing? Wouldn't that be amazing? What's the one thing? Mary chooses the good part, which shall not be wrested, torn away from her. What's the good part? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to Him. And that won't be wrested from her. You know what's going to happen to all this other stuff that we do, that we worry about constantly? We're part remind, always reminding ourselves of all the parts, different parts in life. It's going to be wrested from us. It's detrimental to us. And then in the end, what does it matter? God's going to say at the dais of Christ, well, congratulations, you remembered everybody's birthday, but you died of a heart attack. You know, jeez. It comes down to, you know, we're people pleasers. It's so hard. I know it's so difficult not to be a people pleaser. And Mary failed at people pleasing because she was not pleasing her sister, and her sister scolded her. Mary was not a people pleaser. And Jesus said, though, she had chosen the better part. She was concerned with pleasing one, and that was the Lord. That's such a beautiful thing. Now let's go to, you know what? I'm going to go back to Matthew 6. I missed verse 34 in there. It's such a great passage. Matthew 6. Which of you, by worrying, is able to add one cubit onto the prime of his life? Did I say this? Yeah, I did mention the corollary. That you will improve your life by not worrying about it so much. It's so counterintuitive, isn't it? Study the anemones of the field, how they are growing. Not toiling are they, nor yet are they spinning. Comes down to that noise, remember? The tumult, noise and motion. Noise and motion. Sit down in the quiet. Ooh, that's a nice thing to do. Why are you worrying about your apparel? Study the anemones of the field, how they are growing. Not toiling are they, nor yet are they spinning. Yet I'm saying to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. Now if the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow, is cast into the stove, God thus is garbing. Not much rather you, scant of faith. Scant of faith. Ooh, that's an insult. Scant of faith. But you don't have faith if you are worrying. Worrying is the opposite of faith. He says it again in verse 31. You then should not be worrying, saying, what may we be eating? What may we be drinking? With what may we be clothed? For all these the nations are seeking. Wait a minute. We need food. We need clothes. We need drink. What's up with this? Oh, for aware is your Heavenly Father that you need all of these. Your Heavenly Father is aware of this, and He's on it. But when we go above and beyond what we need and we start obsessing over what we want, that's when the worry starts. That's when the part remind takes over our lives, when we need to keep up with other people and when we need to improve our stature or build ourselves into the prime of our life in accord with what we think we ought to do. And again, the counterintuitive thing is to drop much of the things you worry about, and then your stature, that is, your maturity, your prime, will begin to glow, because all the crap is like scrubbed off of it. And now your stature can really show and shine because it's not clouded with all these unnecessary details. Where is your Heavenly Father? You need all of these. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. That's what Mary did. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and these all shall be added to you. You should not be worrying then about tomorrow. There's the big deal right there. Tomorrow doesn't even exist. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know if tomorrow's going to even be here. I'm telling you, the greatest lesson I learned was to take one day at a time. Not even that, but one moment at a time. Such a relief. Tomorrow might not even be here. You have so many nightmares, so many phantasms, so many scary scenarios in your mind that will never happen concerning you, concerning your health, concerning your kids, concerning the government, concerning the world. So many things going through your mind that you're reminding yourself of every day, worry, 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 that are never going to happen. In the meantime, you're spending all your capital, you're spending your emotional capital on things that don't even exist. You might as well die in your sleep. Your people die in their sleep from nothing except what their mind's doing to them. And so your mind all day is worrying about what tomorrow. Jesus said you shouldn't be worrying about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be worrying of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Yeah, that's for sure. Matthew 13:22. Oh yeah, this is the parable of the sower. It sows seeds in different kind of soil. Now he who is being sown in the thorns, this is he who is hearing the word. Now this is a transadministrational truth. This applies to the circumcision and the uncircumcision. There are some things in common between the two evangels. Hearing the word and the worry of this eon. Wow, what a pregnant phrase that is. That phrase is ready to have a baby. The worry of this eon and the seduction of riches. In a way, Martha was scrambling after the seduction of riches, except the riches wasn't money. The riches was she wanted to make the best damn meatloaf that has ever been made. But these things are stifling the word. You think Martha heard one word that Jesus was saying? No, because the worry of this eon is stifling the word. And it is becoming unfruitful. I got one more verse to give you here, and it's the mother of all worry verses, and it's Philippians 4:6. You know it already. I've read it many times. Do not worry about anything. What? Is that in the Bible? Yep, that's our Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about, in other words, don't remind yourself of any little parts. Don't remind yourself. Do you know how much trouble you're going to get if you actually do this? Do you know how much trouble you're going to get in? On May 1st, I forgot my youngest grandson's birthday for the second year in a row. I tried to remind myself last year when I missed it, but I missed it again. My son texts me and he says, "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" He's very kind about it, my son Paul. He didn't say, "You missed Liam's birthday." No, he's really kind about it. Instead, he says, "Well, Liam had a heck of a birthday." I'm like, oh, shit. I did it again. But people are going to be pissed if you live the godly life. People are going to be pissed. How much am I supposed to remember? It's like I already raised my kids. Now I got to worry about my, and I worried about them. No, I didn't worry about them. Well, yeah, at times I did. But I mean, I took care to raise three good boys. And I thought I was done after that. I was like, woo, now I'm going to reap the fruit. And I did. I reaped the fruit of working hard to raise those kids. I didn't worry. I worked hard. Let's put it that way. So I'm thinking after they're grown, I'm thinking, oh, now I'm going to reap the fruit. No, now I got to worry about the kids having kids. Why did the kids have to have kids? I got to worry about kids again? Ah, it's like I can't do it. I want to drop out, but I can't. Or can I? I don't know. It's a good question. I'll think about this one and get back with you. Let's finish Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. There it is, thanksgiving. Let your prayers and petitions be made known to God. No, actually it says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, I'll try it right here on the air, in front of everybody. I request that I worry less, that I remind myself of fewer and fewer parts of this life, that I let many things drop and go, and that I don't fear the retribution or the wrath of my fellow human beings, and that I will then have peace until they come up and yell at me. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. Oh boy, we need that. That is superior to every frame of mind shall be garrisoning. That's like a fort. A garrison is a fort. Garrisoning your hearts. It will protect you. The peace of God will garrison your heart. It'll keep your heart from going. Keep it from doing that. It'll be garrisoning your heart, protecting it, keeping it at a relatively low beat per minute rate. Peace of God will do that. It'll put a guard around your heart. I know heart is probably figurative here, but I take it literally too. Shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. There it is. The apprehension. What apprehension? The apprehension that our Father knows what we need. He's already on it. There's few things. That was a wild revelation in Luke 10. Few things is there really need. And really of only one. And God dresses the anemones. He makes the birds fly around and they find food. And it's like, okay, yes, we need to do certain things in this life, but fewer things than we think. Fewer things than we think. And by not worrying so much, I'm exhorting myself as I exhort you. I think we will have better sleep and possibly more hair.